Jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, that is, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're heard exclusively here on Global Star Radio Network, or Global Star Radio Network is our flagship network. We're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as you can see us live. Watch us live on YouTube if you so desire. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's our internet presence primary. Click on the YouTube link on the far right down below, and there you can watch us. It's kind of fun. We can see you too. We just understand that we can see you too. Okay? No, we can't. But Eric told me I could. We could. I'm not sure where the little box is, but
You missed it. I was just reconnecting my one earpiece and.
Oh.
I got tangled up all up myself, and he switched the cameras before that happened. Thank you, Eric.
Well.
All right.
Well, you want your sippy cup too, or?
No, I forgot that.
All right. I'm rough on him. I know. Well, I'm Doug Hagman. For those of you who don't know, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm of the film investigator, researcher, most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and the Hagman Report. And, you know, we dig into topics that capture corporate media just, choose not to.
Or
of course,
told not to.
That's right. And you know, there's two really theories of history and current geopolitical events. One is a coincidence theory where everything just happens willy-nilly. And, you know, if you want to believe that, I believe that some things are just willy-nilly in the sense, but the larger events to me and to Joe and to us, to all of you, I believe, or most of you, are orchestrated. And that's where we take a look. And, of course, that's the conspiratorial end of things. Now, conspiratorial meaning is legal definition, of course, is, you know, more than one or two people getting together and planning events, not usually for good. So that's kind of what we see taking place here. And tonight we got a great show for you lined up. We have in the second hour, we have Dave Hodges coming on. I spoke to Dave earlier today and over the weekend. And, folks, if you haven't visited his website, thecommonsenseshow.com, thecommonsenseshow.com, do so. Read the latest article about read the latest article from The Common Sense Show. Read what he wrote. And we were talking about that jet that went down in training, EMPs, dedicated or smaller EMPs, focused EMPs, whatever you want to call them. He's got some interesting stuff to say.
They have you know, EMPs, which, you know, detonate two nuclear bombs over a certain height of the United States, maybe even one. You can wipe out the power grid.
Well, yeah.
They have these smaller ones, too, though, where you can take a city
there
out.
You, go.
You can take town, whatever.
There you go.
Territory. But there are different size availabilities of that weapon.
Yeah. And I think we need to really understand the weapons that we are seeing coming out are, we have no clue what we're facing. That's right.
We have DARPA. We have, you know, the Defense Department, Pentagon, all the money that they've had over the years, that they've lost over the years, this army of robots and drones, and this is just what they show us.
Yeah.
What's the rule of thumb? 50 years?
Well, yeah.
Ahead.
I think right now that there's a larger rift. And speaking with Steve earlier today, Steve Quayle, my goodness, I don't know what time it was. It was early. We were talking about the DNA of people like Nimrod, figures like Nimrod, people like Hitler that have been cultivated, taken. And Steve Quayle gets into this in his new book, which we should have tomorrow here at the office.
Good.
The studio, I think.
He'll be on Friday also.
Yeah, with Chip Tatum. Now, he wasn't, regardless, Steve Quayle's going to be on Friday, and I believe that Chip Tatum is locked in for that. Now, Chip is traveling and has been traveling. And I'm 95% sure that Chip will be on. Okay. I'm actually 98% sure. So, anyway, I was told that I should let people know that, now, one thing I don't do is I don't visit the Joe. I don't know if you do or not during the show. I don't visit the interactive chat room in the that's affiliated with YouTube or any chat room for that matter. Okay, I don't because I can't focus.
Okay.
So, I was told. What was I told it to say? Two people have been deputized.
Okay.
Looks like two people have been deputized as moderators to keep the trolls out and the language nice. Please do not, I'll say this for me. Please don't abuse that privilege of being in that chat area. I mean, really, come on. If you have an intellectual agreement, I understand that. Don't spam the chat room. But don't use foul language. If you wouldn't say it in front of your mother or grandmother, don't say it. Don't write it in the chat room. And if you do decide to type it out in the chat room, something foul, then I got a request for you. I want you to come to my studio and say it to me in front of my face. All right? Like a man.
You're going to have a line at the door.
Already do. So, anyway, two people have been deputized, Rhonda and Scott, with avatars. I don't know exactly what that means, but...
No, me neither, but they've been moderating the chat for a while now, so...
All right.
That's good.
Yeah, but back to...
Hodges?
No, Steve Quayle. I was on the news section of Coast to Coast AM last night. Talked to George Norrie for a little bit. It was kind of fun. Late, oh my goodness, 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:10. But... we were talking about Paris, and folks, here's what I believe. Here is what I believe. There's 40,000 Twitter or social media accounts that are dedicated to the support of ISIS in this country. In this country, okay. Now you'll 40, see that.
40,000?
Yeah. Now you'll see that figure promoted for the world. All right, but we're talking about the West primarily. I'll say North America, not necessarily in this country, North America. So 25,000. There were 25,000 messages. I guess that's the best way to describe them as messages.
Tweets.
Well, because there's a mixture of
notifications, messages. Twitter.
But here's the thing. Here's the problem. You know what? Before we get started, because this is an important topic, I just want to mention this, folks. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Nuts.com. Nuts.com. You know, we all tend to eat a lot during the holidays, overeat. And I can tell you this, that... you can curb your cravings and your appetite with like a handful of nuts, and we snack on nuts here, cashews and almonds and such, the healthy snacks from nuts.com during the day when we're working in the studio. So I'd urge everyone to go to nuts.com. That's nuts.com. And, there you can get our, I just want to make sure the dates are still okay. Right. Go to nuts.com. And there you can get a holiday tin for free with your purchase. That's a $20 value. Nuts.com. Click on the mic and enter our code HH. But more on that later. That's nuts.com. Microphone. Our code HH. Get ready for the holidays. But
nice
okay.
Graphic there, Eric.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Suits him nice, huh?
I am. Yeah. Look. See? I'm nuts. But I was able to talk to the head nut there. And he's a cool guy. Let me tell you, hands-on guy. But anyway, getting back to the social networking of ISIS. And
so 40,000.
40,000, roughly, which in North America, and these are Western language social networking sites. Now,
okay,
what bothers me about this is, and we had looked at the totality of the social networking sites, the forums. Now, we've got before.
If again, when you say support, is this anybody who mentions ISIS or puts a flag up? What's the
Well, yeah, verbally or graphically supportive of the of ISIS. Now, I do think that, honestly, I think that some of these are, they're all bravado, or much of them are bravado. The other part of this is, but how can you tell? And the other part of this is perhaps our government.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you'd be pretty stupid to go on a social media website and to like a terrorist group like ISIS. Not that, I mean, they are worse than, you know, most terrorist groups or maybe any, but
right.
No
right.
Terrorist group.
Well, right. And
that commits actions like that. I mean, I'd be afraid of being arrested just for the you know, posting a flag.
I think you have a better chance of being arrested if you post a cross than an ISIS
flag. I'd be
flag.
Okay with that, but. No, not for ISIS.
Well, all right. But when I was going through the various networks and all of this, I was looking and I'm seeing this move from an Arabic language password protected websites, which we saw a lot during the period from 2002 to 2009, we'll say. Where now that's it's more overt and less password protected, more let's just kill the infidels. Let's just do this. And of course, Joe, and I want to talk to you about this. We didn't talk before the show because we just didn't talk. I don't know. We didn't get a chance. But what I'm seeing here, and Glenn Beck had long ago when he was still using, you know, the chalkboards and
mm-hmm.
What would you call that? Glenn Beck 1.0, maybe. I don't know.
2.0.
I mean, he's a nice guy. Seriously, I don't have a problem. But when he was talking, he had Joel Richardson on and was talking about the Antichrist and the push toward the Mahdi or push toward the end times. Well, he had a blackboard, and on one side he had the you know, Jesus Christ and the Book of Revelation. And on the other side, it was the 12th Imam and the Hadith. All right. I'm not sure if he had the names of the books on the blackboard, but you get the idea. And of course, Joel Richardson was on. He was talking about, okay, the Book of Revelation lays out, you know, here's the Antichrist. And folks, you know, the various portions of the, or various aspects of the Antichrist. And then on the Islam side, it was the 12th Imam or the Imam Mahdi that Steve Quayle talks about. And of course, he also got into the differences between Shia and Sunni, and you've got to understand, you know, Sunni Muslims believe mm-hmm. that only descendants, direct descendants of Muhammad, are qualified to be the Mahdi, whereas a Shia is a little bit more open, and Shia would be the Iran segments. Okay, you get that idea, and then Sunnis would be the Saudis and the.
The Sunnis are the right now the violent, right?
Well, they're all violent. I mean,
the aggressors more so.
Well, I mean, well, Iran is a Shia, so what do you call that? Okay,
right.
So,
I mean, this it's important though to understand these distinctions because in 2003, when we invaded Iraq, the policies that were put forward in Iraq actually, you know, destabilized the army. And then divided the country along those religious lines, which got the ball rolling for the other six countries that they wanted to right. dismantle governmentally.
Right. I'm not so sure that was all, as much about Islam than it was about
destabilization.
Well, the New World that, Order using Islam.
Yes.
And I think that that's an important distinction. It's a distinction with a difference, and we have to look at it that way. But so here's what I'm thinking as I was looking at this, and I was talking again. This all kind of ties together in the conversation I have with Steve Quayle, where we've got the DNA of the Hitler DNA and the Hitler or the DNA of Nimrod, and understand that when we went over to Iraq, we reportedly did find the grave of who? Nimrod? Was Nimrod? That's my notes somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know where they are. But anyway.
I was going to say, I don't remember that.
But yeah, yeah. I believe it was Nimrod. Or
definitely could be. I'll check it out.
Anyway. But we're going to see these monsters reconstituted, and I know how hard this is to believe. I mean, think about this, okay? Are we going to see, you know, a Hitler-esque or a Nimrod or a feral god king resurrected and walking around through, you know, down Fifth Avenue? I mean, seriously, is that what? But then it fits with the end time scenario. All right, okay. Now hold that thought for a second, because hold that thought, and this is, I haven't told Steve Quayle this yet, or I haven't gotten his opinion, or I haven't bounced this off of him. We haven't talked about this, but here's what I'm thinking. When I was watching Beck, when I caught that, for some reason, I don't know why, this is back from 2013, maybe 14. And people say, I've got a lot of commercials, by the way. Wow, okay. We've got a lot of commercials. Are you serious? Anyway, so we were watching this. I was watching this, and it's black and white, where there's on one side is you know, Jesus of the Bible, on the other side is who is the Savior, our Savior, the Christian Savior. And on this side is the Imam Mahdi, who recognizes Jesus, but Jesus, according to Joel Richardson and others, and the 12ers, as they're referenced, will bring together. Jesus will say, wait, you guys, Christians, you got this all wrong. Oh, you got it all wrong. See, the Bible was made by man. It was counterfeit. And I never said I was the Son of God. I had, I went unmarried, had kids. I was never crucified. You know, I was living happy in the south of France until I died. And then, you know, bam, I'm back here. That's kind of the 12th Imam scenario, but he comes back as to tell the Christians to worship the 12th Imam or the Imam Mahdi. Now, I know that's maybe not 100% detailed accurate, but you get the picture, right?
Yeah.
Alright. Well, and by the way, that also overlaps into the Merovingian bloodline scenario. Alright. Well, here's what I'm thinking. And tell me what you think about this. There will be this series of events take place where it'll appear that there will be this Antichrist figure rise up and fulfill much of what the Book of Revelation says, as well as much of what the Hadith and the much what the world traditions of the Muslims believe, and much of what the Christians believe. But it's going to be a counterfeit thing going on here, because the devil's pretty slick. He's pretty slick. He can kind of like counterfeit things. So what it'll be, okay, people will believe it's the end when it's not, and believe these figures will be the end times figures, but they won't be. This is kind of what I'm thinking here. This is a work in progress up here. All right. And then bang, a lot of people will get killed and such. And then finally, after that, after this false, and we can even throw in like a fake rapture into that.
Or alien.
Okay? Or alien abduction invasion. Or whatever it might be. And Dave Hodges is going to touch on certain things, not to the extent we are with respect to this topic, but I mean, think about what Dave Hodges is going to be talking about in this context. So, bottom line is that's going to be all fake, and it's all convoluted, and really kind of we're going to be deceived. And then, but that figure at the end, or the figure at this end of the dual, the mirror fake falsity thing, who will cause people to worship them, and yet it'll appear like it's our Savior. It's not going to be our Savior, and people are going to be so deluded and so fooled in thinking about this. So, but only after this. So there's going to be a fake, because Satan likes to counterfeit everything. I don't know if I explained that right. Did I explain that right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who do I ask? Yeah. But anyway. So that's kind of what I was thinking. So I just wanted to bring that out, and all that to say that Steve's book is coming out here next week.
What's the title of that book again?
You know, I keep screwing up the title. I do.
And back to your what you asked about Nimrod.
I'll tell you what it is in a second.
apparently, the treasure of Nimrod was found, and the tomb of Gilgamesh was.
That's okay, Gilgamesh.
Now, Gilgamesh.
Empire Beneath the Ice, to answer your question, how the Nazis won World War III.
Okay.
Empire Beneath the Ice. And I read the one of the chapters in that, which is it just, but blows me away.
Yeah.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Well, in Iraq, in 2003, the tomb of Gilgamesh was unearthed, and it was found just outside an area of the middle of the, I believe it here is the capital city of Assyria, which was Nimrod. Hold on here, let me. Okay, the Epic of Gilgamesh, written by a Middle Eastern scholar 2,500 years before the birth of Christ. Commemorated the life of the ruler of the city of Uruk, from which Iraq gets its name. Now, a German-led expedition had discovered what is thought to be the entire city of Uruk, including where the Euphrates once flowed, the last resting place of its famous king. I don't want to say definitely it was the grave of King Gilgamesh, but it looks very similar to what was described in the epic. Josh Fazbinder says of the Bavarian Department of Historical Monuments in Munich, told BBC's World Service Science in Action program. He wrote a book about this, a set of books, or in the book, actually a set of inscribed clay tablets. Gilgamesh was descended as have been buried under the Euphrates in a tomb apparently constructed when the waters of the ancient river parted following his death. He was found outside the city in the middle of the former Euphrates River, the remains of such a building, which could be interpreted as a burial, Mr. Fazbinder said. He said the amazing discovery of the ancient city under the Iraqi desert has been made possible by modern technology. And let's not forget this 2003. By differences in magnetization in the soil, you can look into the ground and get a... there's a difference between mud bricks and sediments in the Euphrates River. This creates a magnetogram, which then digitally mapped, effectively giving a town plan of Uruk. And then it goes on to say, the most surprising thing that we found, structures were already described by Gilgamesh. We covered more than 100 hectares? what's a hectare? 100 acres, I'd imagine. We have found garden structures, field structures, as described in the epic, and we found Babylonian houses. But he said the most astonishing find was an incredibly sophisticated system of canals. Very clearly, we can see in the canals some structures showing that flooding destroyed some houses, which means it was a highly developed system. Back to Gilgamesh. The Gilgamesh was believed to be part human, part alien, slash angel, notably what we would call a hybrid. It is also interesting to note that Gilgamesh has been compared to and could very well be King Nimrod, who was the son of Cush and a descendant of Noah and King of Babylon. The same Nimrod that built the Tower of Babel, translated as Gateway to Heaven, to defy God. I mentioned this regarding the overwhelming amount of information that has come to light recently of the DNA genetic manipulation and its use in science and technology. Was the Iraq invasion a forward smokescreen for the enablement of Western powers to gain ancient alien technologies and possible DNA for future emerging and a possible resurrection slash cloning of an angel DNA, Nimrod Gilgamesh? So you're right, Dad. They say that the same that this Gilgamesh has and could been compared and could very well be King Nimrod.
All right. And I think this is important, folks. I think we have to approach this with some sobriety, some measure of sobriety here, and some level of education and educated reasoning. It was in 1999. I just went and got my notes. I ran to the other officer to get my notes, but 1999, the Tomb of Osiris was found on the Giza Plateau. Now, this is a little different, okay, between the Sphinx and the Center Pyramid underwater. The there were four pillars containing writing. There was the sarcophagus, a tomb. It's not the body. Let's see. Now, inside the tomb, there was not the body of Osiris. Now, again, this is not what you were referencing, but I'm getting to that. So think of this, all right? In The Search of Nimrod, 1999, go back to that, and we'll tell you why this is important. And think about Zawi Hawass. Remember Art Bell talking with him and to him and about him about this back in the Art Bell days. Well, it was Hawass who said they found the Tomb of Osiris. Giza Plateau, between the Sphinx and the Center Pyramid, underwater, and they found four pillars containing writing. There was a sarcophagus or a tomb there. It was not the body of Osiris, they claimed. However, under this, there was a shaft into what was described as a bottomless pit. All right, now that's Nimrod. Or, I'm sorry, the Tomb of Osiris, which interchangeably in mythology could be Nimrod. Fast forward a bit, what you were saying, April 2003 in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
There was Gilgamesh, the body was found in Iraq, and there was allegations of the extraction of DNA, the
yep.
human genome, and, of course, the DNA was taken, manipulated,
yeah.
and... Given a shell for disembodied spirits.
You know, I used to have a friend who had one of Saddam Hussein's uniforms. When we went over there in 2003, I mean, we plundered that place.
Of course, antiquities, but
yeah.
But so did they internally. The people in power. It's interesting, Joe, because I was looking at some reading, and I think Tom Horn had done a wonderful job with this. And I know Paul McGuire touched on this, and some others. Mark Flynn. Or David Flynn. No, Mark Flynn. But, yeah, there were people that took things away from the museums in Iraq and important stuff. But they knew where to look. Nothing was smashed. See, that's the thing. Now, where did it all go? And we're talking about specific libraries, books, cuneiform tablets and writings and such.
You think about the satanic elite that run our government and what their agenda is and what the questions you ask and the author in the article I read asks, you know, was it the goal all along for our country to go over there specifically for something like this?
You know, you'd almost think there could be easier ways, right?
Well, I don't know. What's easier than going to the source, if you can, you know?
Well, that's true. I mean, easier.
They were
methods.
Going anyway.
All right. Well, and since we're talking about this, and we didn't see talk about, well, we just go where the spirit leads, I guess. In Washington D.C., and I used to, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to. Go to Washington D.C. and see the, you know, like or Washington Monument. Back then, you could drive. I mean, you could walk right up. And, yeah, I remember being able to almost walk right up to the White House.
Yep, I remember that too.
You know, I mean, it's crazy now. But anyway,
that road was open.
Oh yeah.
And
but you could stop.
Yeah.
And you can actually physically stop your car and
yep.
and the park across the street. Anyway. In D.C., we see really this worship of the pagan gods. And most of the people will, most of our listeners understand this, but I think it's important to kind of go over this in advance of Dave Hodges coming on. We had talked, I think, when was it, yesterday about the Skull and Bones or recently about the Skull and Bones, about the secret societies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yesterday.
All right. Well, look at Washington, D.C. George Washington depicted... It really is depicted as Zeus in a statue. Hercules, Apollo, two sons of Zeus. We have to understand that some of the reliefs in the Capitol inside, I mean, it projects all this paganism. But when we look at specific numbers, we were talking about numbers in numerology before. Well, numbers are important. For example, Washington Monument. And again, people, folks, you know this, but just to remind you, the so-called phallus of Osiris. And understand why we have them. I mean, did you ever think, well, wait a minute, we have got this monument, 666, well,
555 feet.
5.5 feet, yeah, tall. I mean,
and you know, most cities have them.
Well, right. I mean, the two big ones, Rome and
here in Erie, Pennsylvania, we have a few small ones in parks. You know, 20 feet or Perry Monument. That might be the biggest.
Well, yeah, I just want to point something out here. You said 555.5 feet. That's true, but if you count what's underneath it, the foundation, it's 111 feet. So to stabilize the monument, 666 feet. And it's 666 inches wide at the base on all four sides.
The most well-known, the Washington Monument, the one in St. Peter's Square.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, from there, there are a lot of them in every major city, especially the city-states.
All right. Well, okay.
You were making a point there.
Yeah, I was. I'm not gonna go through this, but... you were talking about Kush, and you were talking about the when I was gone, I heard what you're referencing. But what we're going to see, and I think that we have to, again, to be open to this. What we're going to see when we come, when as things start developing, the dome, of course, in the Capitol is the womb of ISIS. The monuments of the phallic symbol of Osiris. This is mirrored in D.C. and Rome. I mean, both. Semiramis, the whore of Babylon, the daughter of Cush, became the wife of Cush, became the mother and half-sister of Nimrod, became the wife of Nimrod. Talk about some pretty interesting family dynamics. And then became the mother of Tammuz, right? And then became the wife of Tammuz. So she had quite the resume in terms of family dynamics. Want to graph that family tree, right?
And Tammuz is mentioned in Ezekiel, when I think it's Ezekiel 8, when the Lord tells Ezekiel, you know, turn to the right and see what the elders of the Israel do in the darkness. Uh-huh. And each time he turns in each direction, things are worse. And one of the times he's looking and he says the weeping of Tammuz.
Right.
And that's mentioned in the Ezekiel chapter 8, I believe. I'll see if I can pull it up.
Well, okay, to bring this forward to today and to modern times, all that foundation, if we see, for example, when we have politicians lying in state in the Capitol building, I find it interesting because when you, I don't know how many people have gone to Washington, D.C. and just looked up at the Capitol, looked up at the dome and seen the the reliefs within, you know, built in there.
You get two of them. You got the one with, you know, the Washington and liberty and freedom, and then you have the angels above that.
Correct. The further up you go, the more occult it gets. You've got the relief in the Capitol dome, the history from Columbus to the Wright brothers. But you've got the 72 pentagrams surrounding the painting of the apotheosis of Washington. And we're talking about people, politicians, leaders lying in state under the Capitol, in that Capitol rotunda. You've got this thought or this concept of the leader actually ascending into apotheosis. That's the concept behind that lying in state inside the rotunda. In the rotunda. Are we going to see something like this happen in the near future? That's my question to you. A lot of people are talking about Donald Trump. A lot of people are talking about leaders. And what would happen, for example, if somebody, if there was an event that would take out one of our leaders? And I think this is significant. You might think, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, I think as we're seeing right now, we're entering into times where there's chaos all over the world, and especially it's coming to the United States.
And there that's will one thing
there
that
will be more.
We can be certain chaos. About that. We will have chaos.
Yeah. So, anyway, I kind of that was on my mind, and I just wanted to really touch on that. just to let people know that we're looking at this, and how does this really factor into really what is this up to with anything? Well, as we see the attacks in Paris, we see what happened in San Bernardino, and regardless of whether regardless of the nature of the attacks, I said this on Coast to Coast last night, and I believe this to be true, there will be another major, major, major attack, Paris level attack here in the United States. Do I believe it's going to be when? I don't know. I don't know. And of course, it's easy for anyone to say, yeah, I believe it's going to happen. But if you look at the chatter, we used to call it chatter, but if you frame what they're currently saying and how these social media sites have really celebrated what happened in San Bernardino and especially Paris, there is this tsunami coming in and people are just saying, you know, hey, put me in, I'm ready to play. That's what's taking place right now. Okay, so.
And even an attitude in the church amongst believers, you know. Let's get it over with.
That's on the Christian side.
Right.
Which is rather interesting to me. And now this goes back to what Beck was talking about. You don't find many Orthodox Christians who are saying, well, let's get it over with. But there are some. You've got Iran and the Ayatollahs and those people saying, well, let's, and especially when with that little short dweeb was in power, what was his name? Ahmadinejad. You got him saying, hey, let's, you know, I pray to, you know, for the Imam Mahdi, for let's rush it. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, even build a road to, you know, even modernize the traffic so the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, can get around quicker between Tahrir Square and Tehran. And it's just bizarre. So we're seeing this kind of esoteric belief system that this younger generation, Islamic techno generation, think of your teenagers, but Muslim and really mindful of the end of time, end of days, mindful of the 12th Imam and the Hadith, and think of, and they're really pushing toward this. They really want to start chaos. This is a driving mindset behind all of this. And you know, it's sad that the news is not talking about this. They want to drive this chaos to bring forth the Imam Mahdi. Now, the other side of this, you've got in America the revolutionaries, the Che Guevaras of their time, now in power, trying to do the same thing, trying to push for this chaos. So it's important we understand the dynamic here. This is kind of like the perfect storm going on. And all of the symbolism throughout the world that we see, from what we talked about with the
obelisk
and all that to the reliefs, and this has all been set up over a vast period of time.
Yeah.
Okay. And we really and now when we have DNA being extracted from Gilgamesh, Nimrod, and that kind of thing. All right. Now we've got the super soldiers, these monsters that will be, you know, and it sounds crazy. Monsters. But you've got these beings bereft of any soul, vessels for mm-hmm. demonic influence being created, having the disposition of Hitler or Nimrod. And being introduced into where we're at. So when all of this, taking a number of steps back, all of this is because, you know, here we are, we find ourselves, and we talked about with Russ Dizdar, Obama placed in power for this time. But not just pushing on Obama either. Bush really advanced this New World Order agenda, as did Clinton, as did Bush Sr., and even going back into the Eisenhower years, post-World War II years. We cannot afford, none of us can afford, and please understand this, we cannot afford to look at this people have this 5-minute memory thing. How many people, you know, right now, San Bernardino, wow, that seems like 100 years ago. You know, you've got to take a look at the bigger picture, because without that bigger picture, you're not going to have the understanding that you will need for discernment. And I know people will say, well, I'll use the Bible for discernment. Yeah, yes, of course. But so are you just locked in a room with your Bible and that's it? No. No, you have to interact in society in general, right? That's what you do.
Yeah.
So you, when you interact, you've got to have this understanding. You got to know if you're being hosed or not. I mean, that's as simple as that. So, all right.
All right, we got 15 minutes left.
Did that make sense, guys? Look, who am I asking?
Crickets.
Eric just said, okay.
All right. We're going to hit a few news stories now. This one I know you mentioned yesterday. And
I did. I don't know what you're talking about, but I agree.
This has to do with the San Bernardino shooter and bank records. You talked about money being deposited in the account of one of the terrorists who carried out the attack.
Huh? I wasn't listening.
Farouk Saeed.
Yes.
$28,000. $28,500 deposit.
Yeah, 25. Actually, it might be a little more than that, but that's what's being reported.
Yeah, and while this loads, I read in another headline that it was an online loan, like short-term.
Oh, that's bogus. That's absolute. Loan. Okay. Did I just go deaf? Did something just happen in my ears? Can you hear me?
Can you unplug the cord? I can hear you.
Testing 1, 2. Yeah, okay, I'm fine. Wait a minute. Let me check.
See, because yesterday my volume was real low. And at the top of the hour break,
I guess we're okay.
My volume is so low. And he said,
all right.
Cord plugged in.
So, no, yeah. I guess, see, they make these so you can unplug them and walk around.
So, bank records showed $28,500 deposit to Saeed Farouk's account 2 weeks before the shooting. And it goes on to state the following. This deposit, $28,500, was made to Saeed Farouk's bank account from webbank.com on or about November 18th, some 2 weeks before he and his wife, Malik, carried out the San Bernardino massacre, a source close to the investigation told Fox News Monday. The investigators are exploring whether the transaction was a loan taken out by Farouk, who was with his wife, killed 14 and wounded 21 when they opened a fire at a holiday lunch. He earned $53,000 a year.
That was a direct attack on Christians. I want everyone to understand that. That was a direct attack against Christianity and Christians. And don't let anyone, especially these pukes on the news, tell you differently.
Go ahead. I haven't listened to the news, really, except for the first day of the shooting.
Get me fired up here.
But, yeah, we'll get into that later because I want to hear more about that. But he earned $53,000 a year as an environmental health inspector. He worked for the government, local government.
Figures.
So did his wife.
Of course, yeah, we knew that.
Investigators are also exploring the possibility that the subsequent cash withdrawal was used to reimburse Enrique Marquez, the man who bought the two AR-15 semi-automatic.
That was a straw purchase.
Yeah.
And you know what? I hope no one questions my $28,000, $28,500 deposit. Wait a minute. No, never mind. I don't think I... Do you... No. Neither one of us. Sorry, we don't.
$28,000. I don't even have $28.
So I mean, you think about that. So you've got this $28,000, $28,500 deposit, and the media is saying, well, it's coming from this bank. Was it a web bank or something?
Webbank.com.
Right.
Online.
Right. The bottom line here, I don't believe this to be a loan. Because
it's more than half of what he makes a year.
Right.
Or about what he makes.
Exactly. And they can use third party like straw banks or straw whatever. This is money that came from overseas. This is money that came from the Saudis or from, to me. This is what I believe. I believe this is money that came from the, go ahead.
They, have a paragraph here about WebBank, but I think it would be worth our while to look into this company. The deposit came from via Utah-based webbank.com, which describes itself as a lending provider of national consumer and commercial private label bank card financing programs. So, what you said can be true.
Well, yeah, and we've... Think of this as like a minor, minuscule scale of the Hillary Clinton Foundation, or the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation, where you've got all of this blood money, this money from overseas going into this foundation and enriching the families, yeah, the Clinton families and those around it. Well, you've got now this money, kind of same concept, just on a different scale. You got this money coming into Farouk's hands, but it's
$15,000 went to his mother.
Okay, and see, here we go. It's the template's been laid, and been laid out. So, bottom line here with this is, I was doing some research on this based on everything I was able to come up with. You had a third shooter. You had a third person there. You had that matched the description of a Caucasian male wearing black. Who was this person? I don't know. It's number one. Number two, you've got at least five others, six if you count the number three guy, in support of this two-person team. I shouldn't say two-man team, although look at her and, judge
when
for
you
yourself.
Say support, like cheering them on?
No, not cheering them on, but providing material support that includes guns, weapons and ammunition.
So we're
and
talking
such.
Criminally liable,
yeah,
behavior.
Yes. And the other thing is, this was not the intended or sole intended target. Now, people might say, okay, prove that. Well, I can't. I can just tell you what my research has shown. Well, where are you getting this from? You've got to look deep into the deep, dark recesses of the internet and some social networking, and also kind of understand that the same place that publishes Inspire, or I shouldn't say publishes, that posts Inspire magazine, which is the English version language of the jihadist magazine Inspire. Mm-hmm. Those people who promote that magazine are also saying, look, there's more attacks to come, and it's going to be against the retail establishments, and it's going to be around Christmas time, and boy, are you going to be in for it? And it's going to be around transportation as well, and attempted attacks against transportation, or attacks against transportation, and by that I mean possibly planes.
Well,
so I don't know if that fills in some of the blanks, but not I dominated the...
This article goes on to say that investigators are exploring whether the transaction was a loan taken out by Farouk, or whether he... if it was a loan, or how this money was legitimately given to this man. Right now, a major concern at the FBI, the ATF, and the JTTF, Joint Terrorism Task Force, is determining how those firearms, the rifles in particular, got from Marquez to Farouk and to Malik. Assistant Special Agent in charge with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, John D'Angelo, told reporters in California Monday. The deposit came from the Utah-based webbank.com, which describes itself as a leading provider of national consumer and commercial private label and bank card financing programs, mm-hmm, on a nationwide basis. On or about November 20th, Fox News is told Farouk converted $10,000 to cash and withdrew the money at a Union Bank branch in San Bernardino. Afterwards, in the days before the shooting, there were at least three transfers of $5,000 that appeared to be to Farouk's mother.
Interesting.
The loan and large cash withdrawals were described to Fox News by the source as significant evidence of premeditation and further undercut the premise that an argument at the party on December 2nd at the Christmas party led to the shooting.
And the cry out is, "Oh my gosh, these guns are the problem. Guns are the problem." Well, I got news for you. Consider what's taken place since Obama has overtaken the Oval Office and locked himself in the Oval Office and won't come out. Over 100 million guns sold in the United States since Obama took to the chair inside the Oval Office. Did you hear that? That's over 100 million guns. And Americans, they're not just buying them and putting them in their closets or taking classes. They're actually taking classes on how to protect themselves. Background checks. Black Friday topped 185,000. And if you want to do the math on that, that's 8,000 guns sold every hour, 2,000 or 2 million in November, and almost 20 million this year. And you're going to tell me that we're going to have people, trying to take those guns away from us? No. They're going to have to kill us. You see, that's what Steve Quayle means.
I'm afraid we're going to be killing each other with those guns.
Oh, what does that mean? Wait, I accidentally
economic
shoot you,
collapse, a state of chaos. I mean, what better way to get the guns out of the hands by a government collection? You can't do it by a private military invasion.
No, and I agree with you, okay, but I'm sorry. some people just need to be shot if they're, some people just need killing.
In defense of another's life.
Oh, I can see the emails now.
A action, which leads to.
Okay, I'm not gonna sit by and watch somebody rape my wife or rape my wife
of
or daughter.
Not.
I'm gonna kill them. I'm gonna shoot them. And I'm not shooting them to wound because that's just movie stuff. I'm not shooting in the neck. No, I'm gonna shoot to kill. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. That's just the way it is.
In that moment.
Okay.
You're just gonna shoot.
I'm going to shoot until my gun is empty. Yeah. And then I'm going to go get another gun and shoot some more until I'm sure the threat's been neutralized. But see, what you're saying
is... We can't be both on funky days on the same show.
What do you mean? are you whistling out on me?
No. Usually one of us is, on the far side. I think we both are today.
But think about the numbers of guns. So they can't really come in and say, I want your guns. Oh, they can. It ain't going to end well. They're coming after us.
Well,
but what you said about starting the chaos and having us shoot amongst ourselves because we're hungry, we're thirsty, we need food, which is why we say stock up on food, but not, people say, we don't need that because I'll just trust in God. Well, that's fine. But you need to have that in addition. You need to do things for yourself, okay? Noah didn't sit back and say, hey, go ahead and God will build the ark for me. Nah, so you've got to do it yourself. So you've got to prepare for yourself. But yes, I see what you're saying too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Good. All right.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, but look at the numbers. I mean, look at the numbers. The guns. 2 million guns in the United States. Now,
In 1 month?
November. Almost 20 million this year were sold. To me, that's a good thing.
It's a little under 10%.
It's a good thing.
The population.
Because, and the greatest gun salesman of all, of course, this, Barack Hussein Obama, otherwise known as, or also known as Barry Satoro, And there it is. And of course, the average gun owner right now in...
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Owns about 4 guns, roughly. That's so they say.
I was going to ask you, out of those 2 million or whatever, how many were first-time purchases?
I don't have the numbers broken down. But you also have to remember, too, when you're talking about guns don't have an expiration date. And usually somebody buys a gun. They take care of it or they store it where it's not, they don't recycle it. It's not, So the numbers here are skewed to the lower side because there's a lot of guns in existence and have been in existence for a long time. They may not be the shiny new evil looking AR-15s or whatever, AK-47s, but there is still in existence. So the numbers are low. Once more, that lends credence, and not that Steve Quayle needs it, but when they say people aren't coming for your guns, they're coming for you. Well, now you understand why, because there's no way they're going to be able to pick up all the guns. No one's going to say here, unless of course hey, you want a meal? You hungry? Here.
Eric and I were listening to the show before Russ's on Global Star, and the guy who was hosting it, I don't know his name, was referring to the confiscation of gold in the 30s, 1930s.
Right.
And,
seriously, somebody knocks on my door and says, I want your pound puppies, or I want your beanie babies.
Yeah.
I said,
Eric, I could not do that today.
Get off my doorstep, okay? Number one.
That would be a problem.
I don't care who you are.
But yeah, after they demanded that all Americans turn in their gold, after they confiscated it, about a week or two later, doubled in price. And,
right.
I mean, just the fact that the people turned in the gold is still astonishing to me. And I would hope that wouldn't be possible today. We're coming up on a break here.
I don't know if people would be so, I don't think it would end well. That's just me.
Yeah. I don't either. So. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. We're going to be right back with Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show right here on Global Star Radio Network Sunday nights starting at 8 o'clock. And you said he's also on in the afternoon now?
Yes. And Dave will talk more about that. Four to five, or
3 or 4?
4 to 5. Right on the Global Star Radio Network. 4 to 5, yep.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.